Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hello, Stephen.
Good to see you. Hello, Ed. Good to see you, too.
This is going to be a fun episode because we have a lot of good news to share, I think. So shall we dive right into it?
Yeah, let's dive into it. So where should we start? Lots of good news. Let's start with sponsors.
So I am very happy to announce that our good friends at Esri UK, have agreed to renew their sponsorship of GeoMob London. And actually, I was looking at it, this is the fifth time. This will be the fifth year
that they've been a sponsor.
So huge thank you to them. And not only that, Stephen, they're not only going to continue to sponsor GeoMob London, but we'll be expanding the sponsorship to include GeoMob Edinburgh.
Which is brilliant. So congratulations to Edinburgh for the great job that they've done and the fact that they're attracting a sponsor of the size of Esri. And thank you to everybody, all my friends in Esri UK, whichever one of you it was who finally pushed the button and said, sponsor GeoMob. We thank you.
We haven't received the money yet, so let's. Okay. Nevertheless, I feel confident that they're good for it. So, it really is great. A huge note of thanks to them. The only one issue I have with Esri is that, you know, they do a lot of interesting things. I wish they would come a bit more to the events or on the podcast and talk about it. So, I'm hopeful as part of the deal we can get a bit more engagement from our friends at Esri to come and share what they're up to.
Great. And
right. So speaking of Edinburgh, Stephen, GeoMob Edinburgh is almost upon us. The next event is coming up very shortly at the end of March. So I encourage everyone who's in the Scotland area to head on over and have fun.
But before that, GeoMob Lisbon.
That's right. So this episode is due to come out on Monday, and on Wednesday, we will have GeoMob Lisbon. They are having it back up at a place called Startup Lisboa, which is where it was when I went and spoke in GeoMob Lisbon. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to attend either Lisbon or Edinburgh. But nevertheless, it's very nice, very central, and then afterwards, very good bars nearby to hang out at.
So great city, great list of speakers as well.
Yes, it really does look like they've kind of built a lot of momentum there. They have a good group. It's not quite the size of let's say a London or Berlin, but they have a good core there. And I do have to give a shout out, Stephen. I have seen the sign up list.
Yeah.
And Edward Betts is attending, who has to take the prize for the most traveled man in GeoMob, because he has come and spoken at GeoMob Barcelona. He's based in the UK, so he has obviously been to London. He's been to Scotland. He spoke together with me at GeoMob Netherlands in October. So if I'm not mistaken, this is his fifth GeoMob. So welcome to the Five Timers Club.
Well done, Edward.
Yes.
So, I thought you were going to say that a young Feldman had signed up to go.
Oh, yes. Well, I believe he's going to be there as well. I'm not entirely certain, so we shall see.
Yeah.
But anyway, get those in the calendar. And that's it for March. But then, Stephen, we come to April.
Da-da! Dum-da-da-dum-da-da-dum!
Yeah, did you have any idea of this? It turns out there's a bit of a tech scene out in San Francisco.
No, who knew that?
It turns out that's the case. And we are going to have the very first ever GeoMob in North America on the 15th of April in San Francisco.
How absolutely flipping amazing. And neither of us are going to be there.
And who's going to be there?
Neither of us.
Neither of us will be there. Yes, that's unfortunate. It's coming up a bit too quick. And it's also kind of around the Easter break, so I'll be with my kids Eastering. But I'm hopeful to make it to the next one. But you know, it's great that they're getting started and they get the momentum going. We need to, of course, say thank you to the local organizers. So first and foremost, Mark Prilot, who just recently spoke at GMOB London. He had such a good time in London. He went back to California and he said, we're going to do this in California. And so he has gotten it going together with a guy named Silas Toms. Do you know him?
No, but he hosts, he hosted in the past a Geo Meetup group in San Francisco, which is combining with GeoMob to put this event on.
Right, that's right. So we're doing it in partnership with his Geo Meetup group, which apparently I think it kind of fell a bit dormant since COVID time. So this is kind of their kickoff event to get things going again.
And I'm worried, Ed. I'm worried.
About what?
Because London has been hitting amazing heights in our events. You know, we're 100 plus people now at the events. You know, they're really rocking. And these newbies are going to come in this city which nobody even knew had tech or geo going on there. And I'm worried that by the end of the year, they'll be way out there in front of us.
Yeah, I think it has the potential to be a fantastic event. Not least, also, of course, thanks to the sponsors. Mark has done a great job beating the bushes to get some sponsorship money. The event is going to be hosted at Facebook's office in downtown San Francisco.
I think it's Meta.
It's Meta, sorry. I think it actually maybe it's Mapillary. I don't know. But at the Meta office in downtown San Francisco, and the other sponsors will be Google, Mapbox, and of course, Mark's own organization, the Overture Maps Foundation. So a very impressive lineup. And I have no doubt they're going to have some impressive speakers. And it's a shame we can't be there, but I encourage everyone to have a great time.
Fantastic. But then we don't stop in April, because in May, we're in the Netherlands.
We're back in the Netherlands. Dirk over in Utrecht, who took the lead on organizing the event, the first event in the autumn that I did have the pleasure of attending. They're going to have another one. So in Utrecht, May 22nd, if you're in that part of the world, please swing by. They need some speakers. I think they have one or two, but they're on the hunt for a few more. So if anyone wants to go visit Utrecht, I have no doubt it is very lovely in the springtime. So head on out and give a talk. And it's good to see the momentum building there as well.
And then two more events before we wrap this little section up.
Then we have Berlin and London, both in June. Berlin, we have a great lineup. June, we also, the lineup is not yet fully set, but we have a few that look very good. So, it's full on until the summer. I actually, Stephen, am hopeful that we squeeze in a GeoMob Barcelona as well. It's a little bit tricky, though, because we have Easter, and then in May, you always have a few holidays and things. So, you know, you don't want to have an event, you know, right before a three-day weekend or something. But let's see. I don't want to overpromise, but it's been a while since we've had one in Barcelona, so we're due for one. So I'll see what I can do.
Meanwhile, and we haven't had one in Madrid for a while either.
We haven't had one?
In Madrid.
We've never had one in Madrid.
Have we never had one in Madrid? I thought we did. Oh, all right. Okay. Meanwhile, six cities between March 19th and June 18th. That's 3 months, isn't it? Four months.
It's a lot. And let's see. Who knows? We have our friends in Belgium. Maybe they'll have another one. Anyway, if you're listening to this, you know, find your way to one of these events and have a great time.
Yeah. Great. So in other news, our friends at Geovation, who host a lot of our London events, and they've been fantastic supporters of GeoMob.
And they will be hosting our June 18th event.
And they had their 15th birthday party last week, which I was invited to. And it really was... it was quite an emotional moment because Peter Tahar, who was the director of products at Ordnance Survey, back in the day, and he was the one who sort of started the geovation thing within Ordnance Survey, or not him personally, but he found the budget to enable a group of people, including myself, I was working on it, to get geovation started back in 2009, you know, and here we are now in 2025, 15 years on, and I don't know, there must have been nearly 200 startups have gone through the incubator in that time. There have been some spectacular successes. There have been some, of course, that have vanished. It was amazing. It was really great. And there were a number of the startups speaking and people back from the very early days speaking. It was great. It really was great.
Congratulations to everyone involved. I mean, Geovation is a fantastic facility, a fantastic concept. Some of the startups have come through have been very impressive. It's a great resource for the entire geospatial community. The only negative at all, Stephen, is when you have these events and you think back and say, my God, where did 15 years go? I mean, you know, it just... you realize your own mortality, but it really is commendable what they've built up there. And you know, I have to say, as someone who's just a kind of a user of the facilities, we've relied on them many times to host. Everyone I've ever dealt with there has been fantastic, very friendly, very supportive. They've been a huge booster to GeoMob. Of course, in London, but you know, also in Scotland, in Edinburgh, there is a Geovation Scotland. Well done. Well done to everyone.
And you know, if you are somebody working in Geo and you're in or around London, either occasionally or regularly, fantastic facilities just to go hang out, meet, hot desk, work, you know. I mean, if you work from home and you want a day where you just go and are around other people, go and work in Geovation. It's fantastic. You know, it's easy to sign up. I really commend it. And yesterday, in fact, they have two cohorts a year of startups, and in each cohort, they run a load of activities for the startups. You know, they have legal people, marketing people, blah, blah, blah. And I've run a workshop for them for a few years now on how to approach angel investors and what might motivate angel investors to invest in your business. And I ran the workshop yesterday, and there were six of the most fantastic startups there. It really was impressive. You know, I mean, I've been to a number of these, and there's always some good ones and some that you think, I don't know how they're going to make it. This was six crackers, and I'm not going to call out any of them. They were all fantastic. They're doing really wonderful stuff at Geovation, and we as a geospatial community should be grateful that Ordnance Survey and the Land Registry fund this and make it happen. Because it's not cheap.
Well, maybe we should revisit this on the podcast. Even we should get someone, you know, from Geovation. I know we've had people in the past, but we should maybe it's time to get someone back again.
Okay,
And give us an update. But likewise, of course, any of those startups who would like to speak at a GeoMob, I encourage them to volunteer. So, you know, maybe even if the idea isn't fully fleshed out yet, or you know, they haven't gone to market yet, still come and give us a talk. So, but I get to your point about the quality of the startups getting better. I mean, this is exactly the vision, right? That over time, the ecosystem, you know, evolves and you have more and more people sharing their learnings and best practices. And, you know, someone who, you know, maybe the first startup didn't work out, then they apply those learnings to the second one or you know, whatever. Yeah. So, really impressive, a model that other countries could easily copy and learn from. So I'm not aware of anything like this anywhere else. So
no.
Anyway, well done to them.
Well done
to you and everyone else who played a role in making it happen 15 long years ago.
Yeah, 15 years, Ed. God, that makes me feel old. Okay, so in other news in Spatial, I think you pointed this out to me, actually, because I didn't spot it, but you pointed it out to me that Niantic, who are the makers of, what's it called, Pokemon Go?
The Pokemon Go game, they're most well known for all these offline geospatial games where, yeah. Not offline, but outdoor, where you play with your phone and you have to go to certain places and hilarity ensues.
It's not a game that I think I played it for about 15 minutes when it first landed and couldn't understand what I was meant to be doing and gave up, but that's probably an age thing. I gather that there are millions and tens of millions of people who play this game regularly and love it.
There are, hugely successful, and that brings with it, of course, some interesting anecdotes in terms of like people editing things on OpenStreetMap to put the location of kind of virtual prizes and things like that. So, but really, I mean, I'm not aware of any company that's been as successful as they have at sort of these location-based games.
So the thing about Niantic, which is interesting for us, is that first of all, it was started by a small group of people, including, I believe, John Hankey, who came out of Google Maps. And John was one of the founding people right at the beginning of the Google Maps journey. And they left Google Maps, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, however long it is, to form this company and launch this game, which has been phenomenally successful. And they've just announced that they've sold the game to some, I don't know who they've sold.
Well,
it's
not just the game. I mean, they have multiple games. I think there was a Harry Potter game.
Right.
So I think the recipe was, they would always take these big, well-known brands like Harry Potter or Pokemon and kind of create the game around those brands. So in partnership with the brand, usually successful. And so this is quite surprising news that
they've sold out the gaming side of their business
right.
for $3.5 billion. That's billion, not million, $3.5 billion, which is colossal money. And they are focusing all of their energy on the spatial platform that powers those games.
I guess there's, of course, obviously some AI element to it as well that they mentioned in the announcement, some sort of geospatial AI engine or, frankly, I mean, from the announcement, there aren't many details yet. So we have put out some feelers for trying to get someone to come on the show to tell us about it, exactly what it's about. But it's interesting. I mean, this is kind of a pivot of the company. If you get rid of your core thing, and then double down on, they say they have $250 million of investment to build this geospatial AI platform or to continue to build it or to build upon it. So, you would have to be quite, that there must be something there that they feel quite confident about to make this bet. So I would love to learn more. What is that? How do they see things? Because, I have an episode that I believe it's not yet been published, but it will be in 2 weeks or so, where I talk with someone about AI and geospatial, not just in geospatial, but AI in general, and kind of my skepticism around some aspects of it. So, I would love to learn more about what this means and what this platform will be and what the business model, of course, around it is exactly. So.
But this is probably, Ed, the biggest spatial exit and then reinvestment that we've seen. I mean, them selling off their games business, which was fundamentally a spatial, spatial games business, for 3.8 billion. I just rechecked. It's 3.85 billion. You know, no one's done that.
Yeah. I mean, when that Pokemon thing hit, it became a true cultural phenomenon, at least in everywhere that I was aware of. I mean, everyone was playing it. So, yeah, there's no doubt it was a huge success. So, yep.
We need to keep a close eye on what Niantic Spatial is doing, because my hunch is that in a few years' time, we're all going to be going, wow, again.
Let's see. I mean, it's an interesting story also, of course, because it's a European company. They're based in Zurich, I believe. I don't know the exact legal structure of the company, but the team and the development mainly happens in Zurich. So, who knows? Maybe, you know, for years, there is quite a strong geospatial scene down there in Switzerland. Obviously, the OpenStreetMap community is very big there. There's some of the universities and things, people like Niantic. So, I don't know. Maybe we can explore having a geomob down there sometime.
So, John Hanke posted something about this transaction, and I'm just going to read a bit because it sort of gives you a sense of the scale that this might be looking towards. It says, existing maps were built for people to read and navigate, but now there's a need for a new kind of map that makes the world intelligible for machines, for everything from smart glasses to humanoid robots, so that they can understand and navigate the physical world.
Yes. You know, it's interesting, Stephen, just this morning I was reading an article about someone explaining how we should all be redesigning our websites for the use case of AI agents to use the website, not humans. The hypothesis being that, you know, humans will continue to use the website, but a lot of the usage will come about from these AI agents that you will kind of task, people will task to do things, you know. So you'll say, hey, agent, you know, book me my summer holiday, right? And so it's going to need to go to the various booking services and be able to do that. And this is going to necessitate a complete redesign of, you know, how usability on the website. And maybe, I don't know if you have a parallel website that's for the AI, or, you know, maybe humans stop using the website and everything is just the AI. I don't So this hypothesis that maps will need to be different, that you know, I guess you can see the logic there. We had a talk in Barcelona a couple of years ago from someone working on the maps for autonomous driving, a very similar kind of thing, and the high level of precision that's needed there, you know, for the vehicle to make these, you know, millisecond decisions and things like that. So, very challenging, obviously, to capture all that data correctly. So let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Exciting stuff. So congratulations to everybody there. And if anyone from Niantic happens to be listening, we would love you to come on the podcast and explain to us what the Niantic Spatial platform is about.
And if you can't make it on the podcast, I can still send you an email with our sponsorship brochure. And, you know, maybe some of that, what did you say it was, 3.4 billion can find its way to old-fashioned offline meetups. So, right.
Okay.
So on that note, I guess, should we wrap it up for this week, Stephen?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Everyone have fun at all the different events. Congratulations again to everyone involved in GeoMob San Francisco. And we'll be back here in a few weeks.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.